Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Good Guys, the Great Men podcast. We have a guest with us today, Keely Rankin, who is an expert in the topic we're talking about today. So welcome. Thanks for joining us, Keely. We're going to talk
Thank
about
you.
the very tense and difficult, but also interesting and hopefully hopeful topic of premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, and even delayed ejaculation, which Keely reminded me to bring up today because it's something that doesn't get talked about very often. So Keely, first of all, introduce us to you. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how come you're somebody to talk to about this.
Well, that's another question. But so my name is Keely Rankin. I am a sex and relationship coach based out of San Francisco. I've had a private practice since 2010. And one of my primarily I help individuals and couples explore pleasure, find greater pleasure, deeper intimacy, open their hearts, have better relationships, more meaningful lives. And a subspecialty that I got into actually very early on was helping men overcome, I call them male difficulties, male performance struggles. And one of them primarily that I'm excited about, I've been able to build out a course for folks who struggle with early ejaculation or premature ejaculation, because there is, particularly in that struggle, there is a very clear path in which most men can take to, learn how to last as long as they want in bed. But yes, I also work in the ED field and the delayed ejaculation field too.
Great. Well, to start with, I'd like to, do you have any kind of core principles? So you said that there's a path you've developed that you can take guys through. So what are the core kind of principles of that path or points upon that path that you generally work with?
Yeah, so when I work with the early ejaculation, and you'll notice I may interchange premature ejaculation with early ejaculation. Premature ejaculation is the medical term. I prefer early ejaculation because I think it just feels it's happening earlier than you want. And I do work with clients where you don't fit the technical term for premature ejaculation, but they don't feel a sense of control. So ultimately, when I think about what does mastery look like, it's that you're in the bedroom and wherever you are, I guess I use in the bedroom, but technically it could be anywhere. And it's the feeling of I get to make a choice over when I reach climax, that I'm the one deciding, I say 80% of the time. So that's what mastery looks like. And I created something called the 5-step strategy. And do you want me to talk through them really
Yeah,
quickly?
that would be great.
They're
That'd
kind
be
of
perfect.
they're long, and that's sort of what the whole course is about, is how to work through them.
That's
But
fine.
the first one and the most fundamental place that people need to start around learning how to last longer is breath. Breath is the most important part in learning how to control and actually be in your body and be in pleasure. So this expands out beyond folks who struggle with early ejaculation. And there's a particular way that I teach people how to breathe, and you never master breath. That's the biggest thing. You'll always come back to that point number one. And it's the first place that we want you to go when you start to feel that anxiety. The second place is learning actually where you are in your, I call it an anxiety curve and an arousal curve. So it's like as the anxiety starts to build in the body, or as the arousal starts to build in the body, oftentimes anxiety is building for men who struggle with early ejaculation. And I could talk about them as being married together. So the second step is learning how to find out, like, where am I in my imaginary curve of 1 to 10, and then starting to be able to separate those. The third step is what I call the anal breath. So when you're going up higher than you want on the arousal curve, you actually turn your attention into your asshole, which is something people are always like mystified when I start to use this language. But it's a particular breath that drops the energy into the back part of your body and softens everything. And when we move into orgasm, male or female, I know this is a long-winded, I told you I was giving the short version, but I'm giving it as short as I
No,
can.
this is totally fine.
The sphincters of the asshole have to pulse. The whole pelvic floor pulses in orgasm. So when we can breathe into the asshole and actually release there, you can learn how to actually drop down that arousal curve.
Okay.
The fourth spot is called learning how to surf that sweet spot. So it's learning how to surf for you. What is the highest point of arousal you can go to that doesn't create the anxiety or the jumping that can happen into the orgasm? And it's being able to go back and forth using that anal breath up and down and back and forth. And that's really where that control piece comes from.
Yep.
And then the fifth step is learning how to spread the erotic energy through the body. So it means like your cock is the pleasure center of your body. The most amount of pleasure is going to come from there. There's nerves. It's meant to be pleasurable. And the idea is, can we move that through the whole system and feel what else is pleasurable in there? So that as you move into orgasm, the whole body comes with you. And I really talk about early ejaculation is about men who struggle with early ejaculation are missing out on pleasure. It is about the partner, and most partners, some more or less care, but there's a great majority of being able to be in the arousal and in your actual pleasure that is missed when you're quickly shooting through, or you have all this anxiety as you move through, and then you orgasm, and the shame and disappointment and judgment comes barreling onto that adds to the lack of fun that it could be and is meant to be.
Yeah, well, exactly. You said there's so much I want to go into there, like shame, huge thing
I
in this
know.
area. But so what you're talking about there's a lot of body stuff going on there. Now, a lot of the guys that we talk to, at the beginning, I might even be starting with just basic self-awareness, like, okay, how do you feel? I don't know. I feel good or I feel bad. And that's about as much granularity as we have. So how do you help a guy like that, who's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, focus on my breath. What do you mean? I don't
Right.
understand.
I think about the body in three different components. There's the sensation body, which is primarily where we're hanging out in this learning control space. There's the feeling or the emotional body, which is how are you feeling? You could do that from a thoughts place, but I think, or I believe many people are at, when they ask that, it's like, how are you feeling inside of your body? And then there's the awareness body, which is sort of taking all of it in. This is, I find actually, for many, many men who struggle with early ejaculation, it is often linked, not always, but it is often linked with a lot of anxiety in this person's life in general. They tend to function as a very high functioning, anxious person. Their friends may not know they're anxious, but when they start to slow down, they feel something in their body that gets them going again. And so I actually have found when I teach the sensation awareness, it's much easier than the feelings thing. And most men are actually very aware of that feeling inside. And it's just getting them to notice, oh, okay, so that's anxiety. That's what that feeling is inside of me. And if I can just stay with it and let it soften and learn about it, and that's where it does help. To have like a someone that you're talking to that's a mental health counselor to work through that if there's more stuff going on. But oftentimes we can learn like, oh, okay, that's all it is. It's just anxiety. And that the pleasure wins out. I mean, my whole goal is like, it's like, trust me, try this and see how much more pleasurable it is. And then oftentimes people are like, oh yeah, it's way better to be in my body. And it's worth it feeling the discomfort of that anxiety to get to the place of pleasure. So that's sort of, I kind of like switch and bait it. But yeah, it is a really big question. And I think it's a bigger, even bigger question for society as a whole, as we are on our screens all day and we're doing things that aren't in our bodies and nobody talks about how to be on our bodies. And especially for men, yeah, it is a very big question. And
Yep.
yes.
Okay. So talking about being more aware, or you could talk about it as consciousness, right? Being able to focus your consciousness to a particular part, or your awareness to a particular part of your body, or a particular sensation, or whatever else. I think if we guide somebody through that, then we can get them to, oh yeah, I can feel the trout, like the jeans on my thigh right now. If I focus, right, I can get to that. What about, would you get somebody to do some meditation practice or something like that to help them just slow their thinking down to be able to even do that? Because sometimes the mind is just going too fast.
In the last, since the pandemic, I would say I could suggest meditation to people. I'd say a lot of folks before that, if I had mentioned it, Even in San Francisco, you kind of get funny looks.
Interesting.
And essentially, what the breath work really is, although in this course, we're using breath in a lot of different ways. We're using more of what's called like a charging breath or a relaxing breath, which is different than most of what you're going to find in the meditation space, but it really is all it is. It's just a dropping into the system so you can feel where you are on your arousal curve. You can feel where you are on your anxiety curve. You can let the pleasure in, and then you can make decisions about where you want to go. And what's so true for men who struggle with early ejaculation is that time and time again, when I can get people to start to ask themselves questions and feel into what's actually happening in their body as they go up the arousal curve, that anxiety is just, I talk about it as like married to the arousal. So anytime you go over this imaginary curve on the scale from 1 to 10, 9 being the point of no return, 10 being orgasm, 4 being the point where you can penetrate. When we get over a 5 on the anxiety curve, and it's married to the arousal, so you're at a 5 on the arousal curve, which is just the point where you would be beginning to penetrate, because you actually want to penetrate at around a 4. So you would drop yourself back down to a 4. But if right as you get in, you're already at a 5 on anxiety, you start to head into the fight or flight, freeze, fawn response, which is the nervous system reaction to trauma, essentially. And then there's nowhere to go from there for the body. Like the body is doing the best it can to get out of the situation, which is to orgasm, because the nervous system is saying something is wrong here. We're on red alert. I got to figure this out. I got to get out of here. Let's get out. And some people actually in really severe early ejaculation will go into ED. So ED can vacillate back and forth between early ejaculation and ED, because this nervous system, your actual physical nervous system, that's responsible for all the things that help you stay alive when you're not paying attention, is feels like it's under attack and under stress. And so it's learning how to separate those two. And we really, you can't do that without awareness. And so, yes, the shorter answer to your question, mindfulness and meditation practices, body awareness practices are fantastic. Really, really good.
I remember at one point, dealing with some of this myself, and then I went and started playing football again for the first time in about 10
Okay.
years, because part of my thinking around that was, in football, I have this other sense of being of where other players are on the field and what's going
Right.
on. It's almost like I can predict the future a little bit. I have an access to another sense, and I was
Right.
like,
Your
there's
maybe your
something.
intuition, kind
Yeah, there's
of like
something
a
here within
yeah.
the connection field that is important that I'm not practicing right now. And I think just being in an environment where I'm aware of other bodies around me and what they're doing, and I'm kind of tapping into that whilst also, doing what I know to do in terms of skills and that sort of thing in the actual game. So do you do anything like that with, sensing the other person and being in tune with the other person, as well as your own, because right, there's not just you in this environment.
Yeah, so what do we do when we add another person in? So what I norm the model that I teach is that we at first, the most important thing is teaching you how to be in relationship with these 5 steps on your own through masturbation. And I talk about the analogy of like building a house. So I know this is not actually how you build a house, but I haven't come up with a better analogy. So the idea is that we clear the land, which is just learning, your brain learning, listening to this podcast, understanding the method from a standpoint of like, okay, that makes sense. I'm on board with it. Then we start to we lay the foundation, which is like actually being able to stay with your breath when you're masturbating, being able to feel connected to your body, knowing where you are going up and down that arousal curve, separating the anxiety curve, riding the sweet spot, learning how to do the anal breath, spreading the energy. That's the foundation. And we need a solid foundation before we put the walls up. So then we put the walls up, and that's adding in other things, moving your body, opening your eyes, using sex toys, using fantasy, expanding out on the foundation that we built, so that we're opening into that space of like there's more than just you in your sexuality. But first, to create the safety, we go in and we stay connected in. And then I talk about putting the roof on the house, which is actually bringing in a partner and exploring with a partner. And the idea is that if your foundation and your walls are strong enough, your roof can fall in a couple times and you're okay, because you know, oh, when we went to bisexual and I penetrated, I stopped breathing, or my anxiety curve came up, or I couldn't feel my body suddenly. And so it helps to make sense of when you're with a partner, which is the what every man, primarily heterosexual man, is wanting: to be able to be with their partner and to feel confident and sexy, and like their partner is loving this and they're just giving them this great experience and they're having this great experience together. There is so many other components that do come in to being able to stay connected to someone, but the idea is that we don't want your control issue or your struggle in your relationship with control to be the contributing factor that's making things more complicated. Because when we start to go into now the question of like, how do you connect with another person? There's a lot of other pieces that can come in there, but we want to have the ejaculation stuff under control, tabled somewhere else, so that you can actually come into what does it mean to start to do the back and forth in connection with going out, coming back, that is required with good sex, in my opinion.
And I think you can tell me, but I think a lot of the issues that we have with this in particular is like it obviously we're up in our heads most of the time, we're in analysis, we're absolutely in a little bit of performance anxiety. In other words, I really need her to have a good experience for me to have a good experience, which puts a load of pressure onto ourselves, a load of pressure onto her, you know, kind of does the opposite of what we're trying to achieve ridiculously.
You know, I have so much, I have a lot of space for the feeling of I really want my partner to have a good time. And I at the core of that is such a beautiful want. And if it gets caught up in the ego, then it becomes really complicated, I think. You know, because if it's an earnest, like I really care about this person and I want them to have a great time, then it's like that, yeah, of course you do. Let's bring your heart into it. If it's I want to rock this person's world, I want them to think I'm the best they've ever had, my ego can't handle, or my self-esteem can't handle not being very good or not being the best, then we're coming at it from a proving place, which is the opposite of connection. And that creates a bigger disconnect, really, in that person's way of showing up. And it is really difficult to actually get what you want, which is to be really connected and to feel really connected to this person in that moment.
And of course, the other person is feeling your tension. The other person is feeling your tentativeness, because all of that stuff, we can be overly enthusiastic, we can be under enthusiastic, we can be tentative, and it's all coming from the same place.
Well, I think one of the things I've noticed after 13 years, 14 years, 2024, of working with men around this is there is a huge wave of shame and disappointment that comes on the other side of that ejaculation. I'm not even going to call it an orgasm, because when you move quickly through, it's not really an orgasm, it's just ejaculation. And then when that happens, the man is, which, you know, what's true is a lot of men who struggle with early ejaculation stop putting themselves out there. They're the guy who, you know, maybe gets approached in a bar, or they approach someone at the bar, and then they don't ask for the number and they go home alone because they're like, I don't want to disappoint this person again, or I don't want to feel that feeling of I didn't perform the way I feel like I'm supposed to, or I could, or I should, or I want to. And so they remove themselves from sexual situations, or even in relationships, they stop pursuing their partner, or stop being open to advances. I mean, the whole system starts to shut down because upon that ejaculation, the wave of shame and disappointment and self-judgment and self-criticism is so powerful that it's overriding the whole experience for that individual. And then it causes that person to disconnect from their partner, and their partner is like, "Where did you go? We were having a great time." You know, and suddenly you're not available. You're gone. You're off in your own world. And that's really, really tough for the person that you're with to navigate, actually.
One of the things that women tell me they appreciate or enjoy the most when having intimacy, having sex, being connected physically, whatever, you know, whatever version we're talking about here, is that he's enjoying himself, right?
Right.
That's a big turn on,
Yeah.
that he's enjoying himself. And so I'm
Yeah,
often
of
saying to
course.
guys, look, don't worry about how long it lasts, or you know, like the timing or the achievements or anything
Yeah.
like that. Can you actually enjoy yourself and let the other person know that you're enjoying yourself? So like, make a noise. Don't just be
Oh
silent.
gosh, getting men to make a noise is real tough. I have a three-step process to move my clients through making noises, and sometimes that takes 6 months. I think men are traumatized from porn. I think they feel that a lot of the disingenuous noise coming from porn, and they are like, I don't want to sound like that. This is my take on it. And so they pull away from making any noise. And also, I think men don't really think of themselves as sexy very often. And I think noise is associated with women making screaming sounds when they orgasm. And men don't think that they, this is only really in America, by the way. I don't know what's happening in the UK,
I mean,
but
if we're talking about porn, it's probably exactly the same as in the
yeah.
US.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about the men I've had sex with in other countries, and they're very vocal, tend to be very vocal. So it's
Okay, interesting.
primarily
No, I think
American
it's
men I've
probably
had sex
similar
with
here. Yeah.
that. Yeah. And so, yeah, trying to show your partner that you're having a good time. I think we all meant most of us are moving into the erotic space to play and have fun, and we want our partners to feel good. We want to feel like we're both doing this pleasurable thing. And so showing that you're having fun is a big part of it, and
If
enjoying yourself.
you know, if you were to ask guys and say, okay, you're watching, say, let's use porn as an example, you're watching a porn video but there's no sound, I bet you most of them will be like, well, I've lost half of the turn on, I've lost half of the.
Right.
So then if you were to say to them, well, see, that part of the experience that you're
Right.
missing there, that's what you're also not giving to the other
Right.
person.
I will say with men who struggle with early ejaculation, though, there's so much fear that if they're in their pleasure, they're going to move faster to the orgasm. And so I think that there's this, and there's even this terrible advice, like think about your grandma or think about baseball, which is again taking you
Cabbages,
out of
yeah.
your body and away. It's the opposite of what I feel like is actually going to move you to a place where you're going to have real pleasure. And there's this fear of like, if I move towards my pleasure, it's going to make me orgasm faster. And that's the myth that my whole model is dispelling. And that's what I wanted to dispel for all men. It's like, pleasure is not the issue. It's your relationship with how you're holding arousal in your body. And it's what's coming along with your arousal and the attachment of anxiety. And that's what we really want to separate. We want to celebrate pleasure. I often use like the phrasing is like, as the arousal is coming into your body, as you're feeling your arousal moving up, we want to imagine it's like your best friend just showed up at the door and you're welcoming them in for a dinner party. How are we that excited of like, oh, you're here. Great. I'm so happy you're here. And that's the feeling we want in the body as the arousal is moving through.
Do you think that part of, you know, I often dealing with people where sex is completely missing from the relationship, or it's infrequent, or it's strained in some way or another. Do you think that, you know, that men have that view that this is so important, I have to get this right. If I want more of this, then, you know, like I have to make this the best possible thing. And again, pressure, stress. It's not about pleasure. It's definitely not about pleasure. It's about proving and getting somebody to want. Again, it's trying to achieve some kind of outcome or getting somebody to want something more.
Yeah, one of the worst conditions for a man who's struggling with early ejaculation is to add the on top of that, the anxiety of, I don't think my partner really wants this. It doesn't happen very frequently. If I don't do this right, then she's not going to want to be with me for a long time. Or I only have this one time window once a month, once every 6 months. I mean, that is a really tough psychological space to overcome. It is, it just is. I mean, I think we just have to acknowledge that. And, it, I mean, that sounds more like a couple's struggle that would want to be worked through. And that being said, I'm thinking about a client that I worked with many years ago. This was a couple of years ago now, but you know, him and his wife were in a really complicated place. You know, they were struggling and their relationship hung on and they kept working through it. And he kept working on his early ejaculation because he was like, this is an issue with whoever I end up being with. I've got to overcome this. And this was an issue in my marriage. So they weren't intimate for 2 years. And he wrote me because he's like, you're never going to believe what happened. We've been working on our stuff. We were intimate last night and I lasted as long as I wanted. And we had a great sexual experience for the first time ever in our couple and ever in my life.
Wow.
And that was without any touch with her for 2 years. And that was following, he's like, I was religious about following this way of practicing with my body and being with my body. And he's like, it works. And I was like, yeah, of course it does. You know? So it's, I think about learning how it's trusting your body. It's trusting that you can trust and be within your arousal. And if you're in a space of constantly worrying, how's this other person, you know, how much pressure is here? It's going to spike your anxiety and then kind of contribute to being more anxious when your arousal goes up. So yeah, it's a dance. That's a tough position for someone to be in.
Okay. I want to come back to porn because I think it's, you tell me how much you talk about this in terms of with your clients, but I think it has a huge impact on this particular area, partly because porn is, it's always there, it's always ready, it's super easy to access. You can have that pleasure, that whether you call it just a release or an orgasm or whatever, you can have that very easily, very quickly. You're in total control. You can change what you're looking at, what you experience anytime you like. But you're in this kind of third person. I had one person explain it to me as, you're actually teaching yourself how to be a voyeur, not how to be somebody who's in a sexual experience.
Right. So I have a very, probably a different view than most people have on porn. I don't really watch that much porn, but I do consult for the porn industry. Mm-hmm. And I don't have conscious, choiceful, ethical porn. I don't obviously have a problem with. Now, the porn industry is a huge container and a huge vessel. So we'll just put that aside there, our relationship with porn. When I'm working with people who struggle with any performance issue, actually most people, if they're using porn, we take it out, entirely out to begin with. Because I'm trying to decide if I'm going to draw you a picture or not right now. It's like my thing I do. I think I'm going to have to draw it for you.
Okay.
Because it'll help explain, I think, for people, and hopefully they'll have a chance to watch the video to see this. So I draw a circle when I think about people, human sexuality. I call this the balanced human sexuality method model. At some point, hopefully I come up with a sexier idea. If any listeners have a better idea for what we should name this, let me know. And I divide the circle into three parts. This is the sensation and erotic embodiment space that we've been talking about with early ejaculation.
Yeah.
Being here in your body. Most people know that category as like the tantra. It's how do you feel the actual experience happening inside of you. It's not relational necessarily, it can be, but it's primarily about you, your body, and your experience. This is the relational part. This is relationship, although it could also stand for religion, love, and intimacy category. This is your heart center. This is your genital center. I also haven't figured out a good graphic for that yet. I figured drawing a dick is probably going to look funny for most people, but this is your genital center. This is your heart center. And this is your head center. And this is anticipation, creativity, and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, how do you let yourself imagine, want, yearn? This is a huge part of new relationship energy in the beginning of getting to know someone. You are fully in fantasy. A lot of fantasy, planning that date, shaving your legs, putting on your cologne. Is it going to happen tonight? I mean, you are activated in that space for sure. Porn is a very small subset of the anticipation category and fantasy category.
Yeah.
It sits here. It's relational because you're watching people, but it is the opposite of feeling your body. You do not feel, that's actually why I don't masturbate with porn very much or watch porn that often. My orgasms aren't very good. I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I don't feel it. There's no, you're not in your body when you're going out and watching something. You're
Yeah,
just,
so it's an
you're
itch. You're
not.
scratching the itch, but it's nothing deeper than that.
And what happens for a lot of people, this is a could be a couple's world, and this can be an individual's world for masturbation. And if you're only moving into masturbation through porn, you've shut down the rest of this circle. And we want you to have access to this full creativity. To be able to have a robust and full erotic world, we need you to have this space in your brain where you can activate and think and go into these places. And porn robs people of being able to do that. It just shuts down the creativity. And so at some point, I do invite people who haven't struggled with overuse of porn, because I don't recommend people bring porn back in for early ejaculation if they have struggled with being stuck in it and not able to get back out. I say, there's plenty of other things we can do. We'll try on all those other things, because porn is just one part of it. And if I do say to someone, we're going to go back in, we're going to use a little porn in as a part of those walls to bring back in that level of excitement. We do actually, just funny because you were talking about, we do audio off
I was going
video
to
on
say,
or
I've
audio
done
on video
audio
off.
before.
We do one video, minimum of 2 weeks. We do not swap. We do not look for more. It's just one video. And we can pause and start the video, restart the video, but we do not go back and forth to the sweet spot of that video. So there's a lot of containment I put around the way we're using porn, because ultimately we're using it as a part of helping your body learn how to be in excitement, but also be able to feel what's happening inside.
Okay, I know we could talk loads more about that. And I'm of the same opinion that, there are healthy ways of using porn and there are unhealthy ways of using porn. If you're somebody that as soon as everybody's out of the house, the first thing you think of is porn, then there's something to look at there,
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
something deeper that you need to address.
And I would also say, if you can't masturbate without porn, that's a really good time to explore what's going on. Because that's the biggest thing that I find with people, is that when I'm like, well, what do you think about when you're not using porn? And people are like, what do you mean? I'm only ever looking at porn. And it's like, oh, okay. That gives me a sense of like, what is happening here?
Yeah, totally.
There's nothing, right? They're shut off, which leaves an imbalance, which is why I call it the balanced human sexuality model.
What's the difference between guys who go through your program and have amazing, fantastic results and guys who go through your program and struggle to have those same results? What would you say is the key difference between the two of them? Is one of them that they need to go off and maybe do some therapy work and there's some deeper stuff there, or?
That's a really good question. I think what happens is this isn't everybody, of course, and there's a lot of different reasons why this might not work for somebody. One, it might just be online courses don't work for you and you need
Yeah,
a more
totally.
personalized,
Yeah. Bought it in a fit
right.
of must fix this and then never looked at it.
And I think what's true about our world right now is we want a quick fix. And this is not that. It's just not. There are some people I've worked with where, like, 2, 3 weeks in, they've got it and they're off. And like, it was just like one little thing that they were missing in the connection with their arousal, and they figured out, and then like smooth sailing. What's true is a lot of the men that I work with have spent their lives struggling with this. And it feels really pressing. Like, people come when like their marriage is on the rocks, or a lot of things in their life have shut down, and they want results really fast, like a pill would give you. I take a pill and my ED goes away. And this takes time. It takes time, and it takes building a relationship with your body, which can be really challenging for people. A challenge could be if there's trauma. I mean, there's lots of different components that can come into why it makes it more difficult for somebody. And of the people that I've worked with in person, I've not worked with a client that hasn't been able to overcome this. I mean, I had a client, he'd moved home. We worked together for like 3 or 4 years. And I remember he just like stopped participating in life. He was devastated by what was happening in his sexual world and was starting to get more and more shut in. And we were a year into working together and things were not moving. They were not. And I said to him, I said, what if this is just the way you are the rest of your life? What if this is just what happens for you when you move into your arousal? And I'm like, then what? Now what? And interestingly enough, a month after that conversation, we started seeing progress,
Incredible.
started feeling movement. There was something about accepting himself as he was that allowed him to his body to something to soften in his body. And we worked together for, I think it was about 3.5, 4 years when we wrapped up our work together. And last email I got from him, he wasn't really looking for a serious relationship. So he was having multiple relationships and having a great time. And he was like loving it. And he was having these great experiences with women because suddenly he actually had all this knowledge about sex now from going through this process that made him almost like a sex expert.
Yeah,
And
totally.
he's like leading women on these beautiful experiences. And yeah, so I think it's hard to feel like if you're not making progress, that you're broken. You're the one person that's broken. You're the one person that's not going to be able to do this.
I think that's a really, especially for the guys that we're working with, in relationship strife, that's a really interesting thing. We're often talking to them about, well, insecurities and, kind of roller coaster of emotions and how they're creating that experience through their perception of what's going on. But also they kind of lose that belief in their own value, their own worthiness to be even loved by somebody. But they
Oh,
also
yeah.
lose any value, any sexual value. Like you ask them, okay, what do you think do you have a sexual value? What is it that you have to offer? And that they can't answer that question, And so it's interesting to me, and this is a kind of a tricky situation to be in, but I would encourage a guy to work with, obviously somebody like me who's working with guys all like this all the time, but to work with somebody like you, specifically just to grow their own knowledge and understanding and have more value in themselves about sexuality and that kind of physical connection and intimacy and closeness in that realm, so that they can actually feel like they have something to offer.
Right. I mean, men, predominantly, I think heterosexual men feel like they have to make the experience for their partner. There's this idea like being the dominant, being the aggressor, being the one seduct doing the seduction, the one initiating, moving things along. It kind of goes back to your question of like it's not happening very often. What do you do? And that is a particular type of play. That is a particular type of woman that's going to enjoy a play where we're in the power dynamic. And not all women want that. And some of them may want that sometimes and not other times. And so it is learning, well, first off, is learning what turns you on. Because if you actually don't get turned on by playing that role, that's a really tough place to want to spend any time if you don't actually have any positive, fun feelings about it. And it's like, what else is in here? Because I do think sexuality gets so limited into this like little tiny box. These certain things are okay to do versus just like, this is our bodies. Let's have fun. Let's see what's in here. Let's just take the training wheels off and play.
One of the things I remember listening to one of your podcasts or one of the videos I've seen of you, and you were talking about being open, which I think is part of this playfulness, right? I will often say to guys, okay, so you want to initiate more of a physical connection. You want to invite somebody into that. The first way you can do that, because we'll try and, guys will try and make it happen. They'll try and kind of push for it to happen. And oftentimes that makes things worse. So I'll say, can you just be around the other person and feel some attraction, feel some desire, like connect to the urges that you have as you're looking at this other person and as you're around this other person? Can you just do that? Let's just try that for starters. right? So just to open to what's real and
Yeah,
allow
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, especially if there's been, some complexity happening within the couple. If you're going right in, and it's, yeah, depending on your partner, you're sending them backwards in their arousal versus forwards. And it's really important to start to slow down and get curious. How do I open first? Yes, I think you're making a great point. Like, how do I open to my own pleasure? How do I show up in an open space versus a grasping space or a going moving space? And how does my partner respond? How much time do they need? And as I start to move towards them, what are ways that help them open? And if you're leading, I normally talk about, if we go back to that arousal curve, like if you're coming in at a five to them and they're at a one, people don't really respond to that past like 6 months of dating. That starts to feel like pressure, and it starts to feel like I've got to catch up, and it can send certain people backwards. And meaning like their arousal starts to go like negative. And then you got to go way back. So I normally say, like, don't come in hotter than like two levels above your partner. Like, if you know they're at a zero, I would probably approach them at a one. You do want to be slightly above them energetically because you're bringing them somewhere. You're trying to allow them to come with you. But if you know they're at a zero and you're coming at a six, you're just going to piss them off, really. Like, they're just gonna get like, no, that's gonna be a no almost every time, which is disappointing, because I think we don't talk about the nuances of approaching or all of the stuff that's happening. And so then you come earnestly with this desire to be connected to your partner, and your partner shuts you down, and then we're in rejection. And then the next time you feel less confident, and then the last time, next time you feel less confident, and then it starts to build and build and build. And that's where we end up in that I have no sexual value because I keep getting shot down. I don't know what's happening.
I want to come back to, the kind of roadblocks or obstacles that you see happening with guys as you're helping them with this. One of the things that I've seen really help is like a genuine connection between the t when you're actually with somebody, a genuine connection. And the way that's really helped a lot of guys with that is to get them to set a standard for themselves. So rather than anything I can get, it's I want to see some enthusiasm. I want to see some engagement. I want to feel some desire. Now, obviously, you have to lead with that. You can't just be waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. When's it going to arrive? You have to be showing that, and inviting that from the other person. But if you have a standard there that you don't then go into some kind of physical engagement without seeing that enthusiasm, and then you feel the connect, you feel that the other person's with you and that they want to be with you. I've seen that eradicate, PE and, early ejaculation and all of that sort of stuff too, just because I'm like, huh, she wants to be here. Okay, I'm relaxed now.
Right. So you're speaking to the piece of early ejaculation that's in that more cycle. So the question people often ask me, clients want to know at some point, like, how much of this is psychological and how much of this is a relationship with my body? Like, my body just learned to do this thing. Chicken or the egg? It's both. And some people can veer more into one spectrum than another. So you're touching into, like, as you're saying, hey, look for clues that this person really wants to be here and is stoked about it. And then it loosens that anxiety that that person feels, and they're able to really be there, which is awesome. That's awesome. That's great. Some people will feel that and suddenly feel more pressure, and it will make it not necessarily harder on them, but they need also more tools, because suddenly my partner really wants me, sends me into, I don't know how to please her. My body can't do this. I'm a failure. But I think what you're, and if we can keep people out of the compensated self, there in that is this in the moment, staying in the moment versus getting caught in the storyline of I can't last. Because again, that repetitive, once you get there and the body knows, oh, when I get here, I don't last very long. So suddenly I'm going to come really quickly. Again, it is partially the body memory, and it also is a storyline that's running in your head, a movie that's running in the head. And so for swapping that out for, I'm going to check and see, where is she? Where is she? Are we vibing here? Can I
Yeah.
relax
Are
into
we still
this?
dancing or am I treading on her
Yeah,
toes?
right. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to keep a person from being caught in that uh-oh space. It's great. Yeah.
And okay, so coming back to obstacles, one last thing. I always talk about, I think that women enjoy feeling men, knowing that they have the tension, the sexual tension between them, they can obviously pick up on that, feel it in the other person. But when the other person doesn't need to do something with it, where they can just be with that tension, and I'll often split the word into intention. In other words, like if you have an intention to connect with this person in some way, you're going to need to be okay to be in tension whilst you're creating
I like that. That's great. I'm going to borrow that. That's okay. I love it.
that. So yeah,
Yes.
so tell me a little bit more about obstacles. Like, what do guys struggle with in this? How come?
Specifically with the tension building for early ejaculation
Yeah, just
or
yeah, with the
other
early
obstacles.
ejaculation in particular, you know, like as we're working up to, and yeah, even in the act of, but I think working up to is so important to get you into that relaxed mode and just being okay in the moment. But and you've said a lot about the moment. The moment is very important, being in the moment. Why? Why is the being in the moment so important?
Well, the mo if we go back to the five steps and we think about the first step, which is the breath that I say you never master.
Yeah.
Breath is going to give you access to what's going on in your body. If you're not in the moment, if you're somewhere else, if you're thinking about grandma, you're thinking about something else, right? I know, sorry, people use that analogy
I
all the
know
time with me,
they
so I just use it because
just, it's crazy that you'd be thinking about your grandma in the middle of that.
it actually makes me really sad. Like I want, yeah, it makes me sad that people aren't, and you know, that's where they're feeling like is the relief, you know, is to not be there. We cannot make adjustments if we're not actually in the experience. And the idea with learning control is to be able to feel where you are and make a choice. That is the idea of this. It's like, what am I feeling and how do I make a choice on how I want to move forward? You know, if I'm at a seven or an eight and I don't feel any anxiety and this just feels really good, you can hang out there. You now jump to an eight and a half. You're gonna wanna ask yourself, you know, how, you know, am I gonna wanna hang out this eight and a half? Because once I get to a nine, that's the point of no return. We don't come back from nine. That's moving into orgasm. And you may say, like, oh, I just wept up to the eight and a half. Okay, I'm gonna breathe back down to a six and a half and then keep playing. But without that ex moment to moment, where is my body now? What's happening inside of me? What am I feeling? You'll just be at an eight and a half and not know. And then suddenly you don't pick up on the cues until you're at the point of no return. So this being able to stay present and feel your body is, I mean, there's no way to learn control without it. There's just not. And you know, the anticipation building before in relationship, before moving into intimacy, I agree with you, is such a huge and important part of building that anticipation. If we go back to my model, building the anticipation, building the excitement, building the tension. Most people are gonna want that. I think most men actually do want that. They're building the tension in their head prior without going outward with it, actually. And I think we have to have some sympathy, or not sympathy, but like we have to make space for the Me Too movement. I think for some men, created a, oh no, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want anyone to think I'm perpetrating on them. I don't want to be a perpetrator. I don't want to make people, I really genuinely don't want to make people uncomfortable. I mean, that's what my clients say. They're like, I genuinely don't want to make anyone, especially a woman, feel uncomfortable. And so there is a withholding of erotic energy.
Yeah.
And there's a now, I think we have to talk about rebalancing because there were men who were perpetrating for, you know, thousands of years, putting things on women. There are still men who do that. And I'm guessing that the men who are listening here and all the men who have ever shown up in my office, there is a earnest, like, I want to be able to offer my full sexual self and show up and not hurt other people. And so what you're sharing, which is like, how do I let that be a part of the way I move through the world without hurting people, is such an important thing to learn. And I think what happens for men who aren't able to show that, they get friend zoned. They end up on dates. They don't bring their sexuality forward and the person doesn't feel anything. It is super important to be able to feel, I talk about it as like, feel your cock, feel your fantasies, be in your fantasies and be in conversation with a woman if you're interested in her and see how it feels.
Yeah.
But if you leave your sexuality out and you pretend like you're asexual in order to have this conversation to make your partner or someone else feel safe, you're going to continue to remain in that category of a non-sexual person to them. And it's not to say if you begin to connect with your cock and bring that energy and you have your fantasies that every woman is going to be sexually attracted to you. That's not also not true.
Yes. Right.
And you're going to have a lot better chance of meeting those who are, if you're able to do that. You know, I think about a client I was working with who'd come in from out of town and he was at the, we just worked on what you're talking about, how to feel into your pleasure, how to let it radiate from you. And look around the room and make eye contact while he was feeling that. And he was went back home, tried it in his hotel bar. Actually, now I'm thinking of like a bunch of clients that would resonate with the story. Another one is like, oh, anyway, I'll stick with this one because it's what the first one that came. And, you know, he's like, it was amazing the responses I was getting in this hotel bar. He's like, women were connecting with me in a way. He's like, I'd never felt before. And he felt nervous about approaching anybody. And there's a lot of other skills we need, you know, to do that. But he's like, it felt like such a huge difference. So yeah, you're definitely onto something, helping men feel that and like bring it out into the space for sure.
So if you were, because this is interesting, because you work with men in this area, but you also work with couples, and I presume you work with some women individually as well, right? So if you were to say from the woman's perspective, like how would they want to communicate with a man who's dealing with this or working on this or struggling with this?
So every woman is very different. And different women have different experiences with being approached. I remember a couple years ago, I was with a friend. We were at a bar and there was a lot of really beautiful women around. It was with a male friend. And I was like, this is such great space. I'm going to ask some of these women how they would want to be approached because like I have so many of these, you know, male single clients and I want to understand. And we approached these women. The one who was the most, two women, one who was the most boisterous was really kind of awful. Like basically she wasn't available for being approached. Like there was no space there. And the other one had a little bit more space, but this other one was so vocal that the other one kind of pulled back a little bit. And so I think what's true, and I'm very much a realist. What's true is some women are not available to be approached in real life. And that doesn't have anything to do with you and what you're offering. But that is really hard when that's the first person that you're trying this out on.
Well, and so, I would agree with that in terms of in a marriage, long-term marriage too. Like, you know, if you're so needing somebody to be accepting of an invitation or an approach or an initiation or whatever else, versus it's an invitation. You get to say yes or no. It's not going to affect whether I invite you again. You know, like, okay, if you've been in that situation for 10 years, then there's probably a conversation you need to have. To like really
relationships are so complicated. People are so interesting and fascinating, and the dry approach when there's been no sex for 10 years doesn't typically work because there's a lot of conversations and a lot of resentment and a lot of other things that need to go on. And you know, I normally say try this out if you're in a space where you have contact with other people. Like actually try it out more like in lines at coffee shops with people. Like try out the eye contact energy before we try out any cold approaches. Try out just saying hi to people you find attractive first and see how that goes. Because the cold approach is really tough. This is for folks who are dating. Couples are just really, it's really complicated to go into because everyone is so different depending what's going on in the couple. You'd have to know specifically about that dynamic. Sometimes it's as simple as you're just not approaching me at the right time. Sometimes it's as I'm mad at you because you're always mean to me. You don't pay attention to me. You only pay attention to me. I was like, I mean, there's so many things that we could go down in that route, rabbit hole of. And in general, like if you haven't been having sex, channeling that energy and trying to approach your partner after many, many years of not being connected is most likely not going to be that helpful. People probably don't want to hear that, but more if you're trying to bring back something, touch can be helpful. Not sexual touch, just I love you, I'm here with you, ha a hand on for 3 seconds, someone's arm or back. Nothing genital, directly genital related for a couple of weeks, and then some conversations. How are we feeling about us? What's going on here between us? And being open to having those conversations. Going back to something I must have said something about openness. Like the openness there is hugely important in long-term relationships. Can we hear feedback? Can we stay open? Can we continue to listen? Can we get out of our own way and be in a relationship with someone in an open way?
Do you do anything in terms of helping guys around the whole shame thing? So, like I know you're doing a fair amount with just helping them get into that control of the physical sensation, being aware of that, understanding that, being having more control and access to that. What about if they just keep going back into the mental?
Yeah, so that's where we get a little bit more into the therapy space. Processing, looking at, talking about, opening up, creating relationship with shame. Oftentimes it means going back into childhood and processing things that happened in childhood, ways in which they were shamed or learned about shame, ways in which they witnessed shame. And for some people, like you spoke about, like some of people are more in the psychological ED space and they need less of the exploring, learning, school, tool building, skill building with their body, and that more space of like, how do I feel about myself as a sexual being? And what guilt or shame am I carrying around about my unworthiness or unsexiness, or just in general, not welcoming my pleasure? My pleasure is wrong or bad. It's going to hurt people. There's no space for it. Body shame comes in here. My size, my look, my color, how much hair I have or don't have. I mean, there's so many components, not even just your cock that was specifically cock related, but it could be other parts of the body. I mean, the places in which humans choose to shame themselves is endless.
Well, and it's all
And
comparison, right? It's all either I compare myself with some other person who does this better than me, or this perfect version of me who does everything right, which is both of them are nonsense because neither of them are true.
Shame is such an interesting, my mentor used to say shame is the most difficult emotion to move through, work through, explore, understand, because it's shame inherently is very secretive, and it's so sneaky that you can hide the shame from yourself. And it's because it's so secretive inherently, you don't want to talk about it. So it's like there's just this underlying thing, and you don't know what it is, and you don't know what is happening, and it can be really helpful for a professional to say, like, I wonder if you're feeling shame. And sometimes it can be like, oh, that's what it is. Like, I know sometimes when I'm doing my own personal work, like, I catch myself and I actually ask myself because I know how sneaky shame is. I'm like, is this shame right here? If I can't figure out exactly what's going on. And a lot of times it is. A lot of times it's like, oh, that's what's in here. Shame. Okay, here it is.
And the
Right.
path, I think, oftentimes the path to the confidence or the peace or the alignment that you really want is by following the shame. Because if you've got to actually follow it to be able to get to, that's why I'm feeling this way, because I'm thinking about it in this way.
Right.
Oh, now I understand it.
Right.
I can let go of it.
Yeah. Right. Let go of it, or at least when you're there, acknowledge that you're there. Oh, okay. This is here. Okay. Now, what do I want to do? What could I do that's different? And sometimes you can, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're stuck in a shame spiral and you can't get out of it. And that's just where you are. And you show yourself grace and compassion. And that's where, the meditation space is really, really helpful, because there is a lot of energy going into what does it mean to have self-compassion. And that can be really, really helpful for folks who struggle with shame. There's endless YouTubes and audios and podcasts on that, which is really wonderful. We have that as a resource these days.
So you said you talked earlier about acceptance, and I've said before, I think when we're the reason why men find it's not the only reason, but I think it's a big reason why they find intercourse is so powerful is because it's the place where they feel really, truly, fully accepted by the other person. Like, you've had to let me physically inside you, and so that's an incredibly vulnerable thing. You must trust me. You must trust me to do that, right? So you actually really accept me in this moment, and I can accept myself in that moment. So I don't know whether you do anything around, that. How about we did some practicing on accepting yourself first? Because if you want somebody else
Well,
to accept.
you're reminding me of one of the first books I read around human sexuality, which is Sheer Heights Report. And it was the male human sexuality study. It was one of the first ever done. I think it was the 60s. She wrote this book. And my takeaway was that, which this was I was traveling in Thailand. I was trying to figure out what I was doing with my life. And I was like, found this book and I started reading it. And like, you in Thailand, I don't know what's happening over there nowadays. This was a long time ago, but like, we'd get on these buses for hours if you're like moving locations, and there was never enough seats. So people are like laying on the floor, and I would just open this book and start reading it to all these people on these buses. And we would have these really interesting conversations. It's a great book. And one of the main points that she says is that her speculation was that most men don't feel like they can be themselves most of their lives, that they have to put on some sort of mask, some sort of screen. They don't get to feel their emotions. I want to believe that this is less true now than in the 60s. But in the throes of the sheets, they get to let down and just be and actually connect. That's the place that it's okay for them to connect. Back in those days, it was definitely not okay to connect with men. People would tell you you were gay. There's this really, really interesting psychotherapist out of France that did a podcast that I listened to, and she was saying children have to choose at like between 7 and 10 years old if they're going to go for their feeling. Men, boys have to choose if they're going to go for feelings or they're going to go for acceptance in the group, because they can't do both. And a lot of men choose acceptance because they don't want to be seen as othered or not good or, gay. There's still like all of this fear, right? And so they let go of their emotions to stay as a part of the group. It was heartbreaking, really. I'm raising a little boy right now, so it's on my mind. And the only space they get to feel that is in the bedroom, which is awful. Women don't have that.
No.
We have lots of places that we are culturally allowed to feel connected. And so I think, yes, starting to talk about acceptance and how we feel about ourselves, and also starting to look at how do we create community around us? How do we let ourselves feel part of this world? And like, the only place that we are fully accepted is not just in the bedroom, although that is a really beautiful place and a really special place for a lot of couples to feel that. And I think women feel that too. Actually, women feel that, like, that women want to be desired just as much as men. Women want to feel that passion. Women want to feel that connection, filled up being taken. I mean, there's lots of different ways that women also want to meet. Most women do want to meet men in that. Women have just been taught, don't be sexual. Look sexy, but don't be sexual. Don't be a slut. Don't let people, don't have urges or needs. Shut those down. Only move into sex when someone really says that they want you, but then, don't like it too much. I mean, women get all sorts of conditioning that makes the whole situation complicated.
Yeah, if we could all just slow the fuck down.
Yeah,
Really slow the
right.
fuck down. Yeah.
Yeah, slow down and look at the stories we tell ourselves about sex and intimacy and closeness. Like, if we can really look at the underlying defense systems that show up, I think that's ultimately a lot of the work that I do with clients is like, what is happening inside of you in this moment that's shutting your heart down? That's sending you off into your compensated self, the thought self, the
Yeah, a
bad
hundred
self, the
little
shame
insecurity
self.
stories that are coming up
Right.
about this or that or.
Yeah. Right. Right. Keeps you from everything that you want, just connection and pleasure.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably plenty for today. So I want to give you some time to just tell people, like, how can they find out more about you? Where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so one of the best places is my website, which is my first and last name, Keely Rankin, KeeleyRankin.com. And on there, you'll find my courses, and I'm launching a new course. I'm hoping to have it up, I think the end of April, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be a general sex class just for everyone to learn all the things in the last 14 years that I've acquired. And putting it all into one course, which I'm really excited about. And of course, there's the early ejaculation course for men who are struggling with early ejaculation. And then if you want to follow me on social media, the best place is on Instagram. And again, that's just my name, Keely Rankin. You'll find me there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Anything, any last bits of wisdom you want to leave us with?
I think when I talk about, thanks for asking, actually, when I think about early ejaculation, or really any struggle because we didn't even get into, maybe we'll come back and do another one around delayed ejaculation because I think
Yeah.
that deserves as much of attention as that it doesn't get much attention. My whole thing is like, let's take the stigma off of this. Like, let's start talking about this because there is so much isolation for men who struggle with early ejaculation and so much fear that they're never gonna be able to last and then they'll never have the sex that they want and they'll never have a relationship that feels good. And for me, like when I really started working on this course and thinking about this, I was like, I really want to get the message out there that like, let's just start talking about these things. I know it's really scary, but we've got to start talking about them. We've got to take this out of isolation. There's so many people out there who struggle with this, and it's amazing. I'm working with a client right now, and he struggles with early ejaculation. And before I started working with him and his wife have two kids. They've been married for, 8 years. Never talked about his early ejaculation. Never talked about it. So if you're listening to this, maybe, and you struggle with this, just send this to your partner and maybe we'll start to open up the conversation. But it is so important to start to talk about it. And I think what's true is most people don't know where to go. They don't know how to talk about it. They don't know what resources to look for. There's a lot of bad resources online. Stop start method, the learn
Yeah, we
doing more
didn't even
Kegels
talk about
usage.
Kegels.
Please don't do
Yeah.
Kegels. Announcement to the world, please don't do them. There's a certain time and place when they may be useful for early ejaculation, but they're primarily not. And yeah, it's just hard to know that you're going to be okay. And people, I think, predominantly don't want to explore something if they feel like they can't fix it. So you can fix it. And let's just take a deep breath and start talking about things that are hard to talk about.
Thank you so much. It's been a
You're
pleasure.
very welcome. It's been so fun to chat with you.